So as you could probably tell already from the Makoros that I gave out on Tuesday, basically the structure of the Chabura will be that we're going to discuss basically three general approaches to the function of Lav HaNitzikla Esei. How exactly does the factor of Nitzikla Esei trigger that Petur Malkus? And within each of these approaches, we're going to discuss the different nuances which come up through the Gemara and the Rishonim. So the first approach we're going to develop is this idea that the idea of tikkun, and basically that when the person fulfills the mitzvah's essay, that basically that fulfillment of the mitzvah's essay functions as a tikkun, somehow a rectification of the lav. And according to this idea, that basically the idea is that the violation of the lav on its own should be able to basically trigger, is enough to be mechayev malchus, but the fact that there is a potential to be metakin the lav in some way, that somehow that potential is going to basically delay the chiyav malchus. And generally, this concept of nitzikla esei functioning as a tikkun is really formulated by the Rishonim in the context of the Manda Amar of Kimu Velo Kimu, which basically the Manda Amar recorded in Malchus Tezvav, which basically says that as long as you violated the lav, and there is practically no opportunity, no longer an ability to b'mkayim the essay, even if the bittul of the essay happened, the mela happened through an onis, lightning hit the stolen object, that even if the person wasn't responsible for the bittul essay, even so, there's going to be a chiyav malchus. This idea that the lav itself, the violation of lav itself is mechayev the malchus, and it's just the opportunity to be mechayim the lav, the essay, which will function as a tikkun, but once that opportunity no longer exists, the violation of the lav itself will suffice to trigger the chiyav malchus. So just to see this inside in source number one, just focus first on the second half of Rashi, see the third line right after the period, discussing the manda amar kimu velo kimu. He really formulates the mitzvah essay in this manner. So elam laman detani kiyem essay punter. According to manda amar kimu velo kimu, basically if you're mekayim the essay, fulfill the essay, then you're punter, lo kimo chayiv. But once you're no longer able to be mekayim the essay, you're going to be chayiv. The way he says it, sheha essay tikuno shelavu. According to this approach, the function of the essay is somehow going to be metakin, somehow going to be rectified, the lav at hand. And Rashi continues, v'ein halav taloi bebitul essay, exactly this analysis, that the mechayev of the malchus does not require the bitul of the essay, the violation of the lav on its own was enough to be mechayev the malchus, shemishah she'over halav nigmar, the mechayev is finished, is completed, once you have the bitul of the lav alone, essay nita makor malchus, but the factor of the essay is just that potential to perform a tikkun. And therefore, l'kashayav l'beisim l'kayim ha'essay v'fatra o'yulake. We'll get to this in a second. Rashi's opinion is that the ability to mechayim that essay only lasts up until the time that they come to beisim. We'll get back to that in a second. But here you have this clear formulation in Rashi within the Manda Amar of Kimu Lo Kimu that the function of the Nitzikla Essay is that the Nitzikla Essay functions as a tikkun. So just we're going to spend a couple minutes discussing what exactly is the nature of this tikkun. How exactly does this tikkun rectify in some way the violation of the law? So you're going to see the first option, the first model of tikkun is that the tikkun only works mikan ulhava. It is not able to rectify l'mafreya, able to somehow neutralize the cheftza shel aveira done in the past. All that it accomplishes is that somehow it works mikan ulava. We'll explain, somehow it works mitzad the gavra moving forward. Something about the person's mindset towards the sin moving forward. So just before we explain exactly why this is the case, just to see where this comes up in some Makoros, starting with source number two in the Gemara Bamitzias, a well-known Gemara. Gemara in El Mitzias has a story as follows. Ba'amar Rava, Ra'a sela shenafla, well, if you basically witness a friend of yours who dropped the coin out of his pocket, so natla lifnei yeyush al menas l'golza, if this person takes the coin, and instead of having das to return it, like he should, he rather has in mind to steal it, over b'kulon, you violate the three following yisurim. Mishum lo sigzo, v'lav v'gzeila, mishum ha'shev tishivim, the positive essay of Hashavas Aveda, and mishum lo sucho l'salein, which is the negative commandment of Hashavas Aveda. Now here's the key line. Apple gav the chazra, or they change it to hichzir la'achar yeish. Even if the person then goes along and changes his mind and returns that sela, that coin, to the owner, very important formulation. Matana hu de yahivle, that giving is viewed as an independent matana, an independent gift which is disassociated from the avera performed in the past. And the key line also, the isura da avad avad, and the isur which you violated in the past has not been impacted ki huzeh. So the question that almost all of Rishonim deal with on the spot is, One of the Yisurim that was just mentioned is the lav of a gzela. And right, in the lav of a gzela, we all know, is nitzuk la'ese in terms of a heshiv as a gzela. So if you think that the returning of that coin should at least be mekayim, the mitzvah's essay of the heshiv as a gzela, that should be menatik the lav. So what does the Gemara mean when it says it's totally this hachzara is totally disassociated from that lav? And number two, the fact that we say that hachzara, that returning, hashava, does not impact the lav whatsoever. So the approach, which is really found in like a number of Rishonim, is that they say that this formulation of saying that the Hachzara is a nitzik la'ese, but yet it doesn't impact the original lav in the past, those two things are not at odds with one another. Because the function of nitzik la'ese is that it works mikan ulahapa. That doesn't impact at all, doesn't neutralize in any way the chefsa shel aveira in the past. All that it does, it has a function moving forward. So just to see this inside, in source number 3 of the Tosfos Beinu Peretz, who is coming to answer this question. The question is, what do you mean? How can you call it? How can you say Yisur Da'avid of it if this is really nitzik la'ese? He says, no problem. Source number 3 of the Tosfos Beinu Peretz writes, the Ba'ama Kinami Kishilim Hadamim, in the context of Gzela, even when you return that you're Meshav as a Gzela, Hashta Iftar, that only triggers a Ptur right now moving forward. But Mikomako Me'ikara Avar Alav Delo Sigzo, that doesn't change the fact that even from the perspective of post Hachzara, Hashava, and moving onwards, that still doesn't change our perspective looking back at the Lav, that the fact that you were completely over the Lav originally. Ela Shesilko Hashta, it's rather a Tikkun moving forward from now on. And the Baal Mor is a similar Lashon, we're not going to see that inside, but I just want to see one more Makor, which has this idea of the Lecha Mishnah, who's commenting on the Rambam, who also, the way the Rambam formulates the case is really almost verbatim of the Gemara, but also seems to imply that Hachzara has no impact on the Isser. If you look at source number 4, the beginning is just quoting from the Rambam states the case and then says, Matana Hizu, this is just merely a Matana, a gift, Ukfar Avar Al HaYisurim, and you are over on all the Yisurim, including Gezela. So Lecha Mishnah explains, Rabbeinu Zal Kasav Akfar Avar Al HaYisurim, that you were completely over the Yisurim, Venerally Ta'amo, Mitnei Sha'af Al Pisha Mitakein Achaka Chalav Delo Sigzo, Bashav As Gezela Kichsev Heshev As Gezela, even though the returning is a kiyum of the Mitzvah's essay of a Heshev As Gezela, which is a Nitzak L'essay of the Lav of Gezela, Mikol Makom Kfar Avar Al Lo Sigzo. That doesn't change the fact that you were over the Lav Lo Sigzo in the past. Mechina Isra Shel Hashiv Tashiv, Shehovah L'Hachsi Kol Dem Yesh, and also the Hashava doesn't rectify the Bittul essay in terms of Hashava Savida, and the key is V'achav Kachu Metakin, and the ticket is only working Mikan L'Abab. Key lines now. Shekol Misha over Lav, talking in the general sense. Whoever violates a Lav, V'achav Kach Kia Me'esei Shenitko HaKasiv, and later on you perform your Mekayim, that Nitzik L'Esei, Lo Bishvil Kain Mikri Shelo over Lav, that doesn't change the fact that even moving forward, when we're looking back, right, this idea of Mekanel Abal Mafrei, that even moving forward, when we're looking back at the Isser, we still say that there was a complete violation. And he adds an important line, V'tzarach Shuva Gemurah. Not only does he limit the Tikkun, Mekanel Abal, he also says that Tikkun, Mekanel Abal, only is limited to the realm of the Ptur Malkus. You could have said, in a Hanami, it works only Mekanel Abal, but at the end of the day, Mekanel Abal, that patters you from a Chiyav Tshuva, the commission of goes to this extreme, that not only is it limited to Mekanel Abal, but even Mekanel Abal is limited to the realm of the Ptur Malkus. So here you have, in a bunch of Rishonim, this concept that the Tikkun only works Mekanel Abal. So now the question is, why is that so? Why is it that the Tikkun only works Mekanel Abal and doesn't relate to the Chetzah Shel Aveira in the past? So in discussing these issues in terms of the different models of Nitzik L'Essay, really more specifically the different models of Tikkun, there are two variables at play. Number one, the nature of the Lav, which is being Mitzukan, and number two is the type of Nitzik L'Essay they were talking about. So for this first model, I think the focus is on the first issue in terms of the nature of the Lav itself. That if you think that a particular Lav at hand is focused on the Maisa Aveira, say in the case of Gzela that we're talking about, that the formulation of the nature of the Isser Gzela is not focused on the Totsah being Mafsid, the Nigzal, the owner, but it's rather focused on the Etzem Maisa Gzela itself. So then it makes a lot of sense to have such a perspective, because you steal on one day, and then 2 weeks later you're Meshav that Gzela. Why does that returning of the Gzela 2 weeks later have any impact on the fact that you're over that Maisa Gzela 2 weeks beforehand? Doesn't seem to have any impact whatsoever. So I think, according to this first model, this idea of the Mikanul Abba Tikkun is based on this fact, when you formulate the Lav in terms of a Maisa, so then the later Tikkun will not have any impact on the Maisa Gzela, on the Maisa Avera at all. But what is its impact? What does that mean that it's a Tikkun Mikanul Abba? So one way to say it is that this idea that tikkun mikan labot really meets out the gavra, and there are two ways to say it. The simpler way to say it is that basically mikan labot, you're basically relating to the parsha of the avira in the correct fashion. In the case of gzela, originally it was an inappropriate relationship to someone else's money; you took it from them. So now the rectification is mitzad the gavra moving forward by being meshiv the gzela. I'm hereby basically rectifying in my mindset. I'm concretizing in my mindset that mikano above, the way to relate to someone else's money is by returning it to them. Whatever is theirs is theirs. So according to this idea, the tikkun is only working really mitzad the gavra, that the hashava only reflects that the gavra has a new mindset towards the parsha of the avera moving forward. The second option is the idea presented by the Or Sameach, is that the focus of, let's say in this case, of the Hashavas Gezela, is not that you are now basically counteracting the sin by, instead of stealing, you're returning it, but it's rather that you're undermining the Hana, basically by the Chote, by performing the essay, is undermining the Hana that he received from the Avir. So in the case of Gezela, the significance of the Hashava is not the demonstration that you no longer relate to other people's money in a Gezela-type fashion, but it's rather that you are basically disassociating yourself from the Avera and now undermining any Hana you would have gotten, because Kol Zman is in your hands, you're benefiting from that Gzela, so now you're disassociating from the Avera by disassociating yourself from any Hana from the Avera itself. So
that presupposes that, yes, that the Hana is a precondition for the Mal, that continuing Hana.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so that is assuming exactly what Rabbi is saying, is that according to this approach, the mechayev of the Malkus is that continued association with the Avera as manifested by his Hana, his constant Hana from that Avera, which is a very big
Chiddush. The Mais Avera is the Lav.
Correct. But the Malkus is triggered by the current association.
Tzidin to begin with.
Exactly, 100%. And then an important distinction between these two different...
According to your first side, so shouldn't that also take care of Tshuva?
No. But the question is, how? I mean, it's a huge chiddush to say that. I mean, you're not relating to the avera done in the past. So I'm not on mikan
l'abah. Changing perspective and acting positively.
But the question is that remove. I mean, you can say that tshuva is needed to now relate to the past ma'isa avera. And if all this tikkun does is that's mikan l'abah, how are you going to remove the exactly on the past?
It's a kabbalah l'abah, but it's not, exactly. Maybe it's not enough of a charata l'afar.
Exactly. So I'm assuming that Jason is referring to the Lecha Mishnah, who says that there's still a chi of tshuva moving forward.
So there's three components. If this component were missing, then there wouldn't be a full tshuva either. I mean, Jason is asking that shouldn't tshuva do the same thing?
Shouldn't this accomplish tshuva?
The
Hashava should accomplish tshuva. So the answer is no. Tshuva requires more than just this Hashava and the kind of level. Exactly. As Rosak pointed out, the very important aspect of the tshuva is relating to the past, the charata and the busha ala avar. It's more than just the kabbalah ala asad.
Somebody stole an object that they get hana from for whatever reason. Maybe putter from not stealing. If ma'akas or tali is hana, shiachus or sameach. Sometimes a person putter if they're
putter from ma'akas. It's an interesting question. I'm assuming that.
The Gemara has a discussion we talked about last year a little bit, right? And, like Almanaf Slamekat or things of that sort.
He's saying something like Isri Hana. I'm assuming.
Oh, I saw like Gezel
Isri Hana. I don't know if you go take it that far.
To take that far.
I mean, one way to explain.
It doesn't have to be also the formal Hana. Right, now the Surah Hana really is a Hagdara, the Mura Hana, Surah Hana, those are like very formal categories. It depends on, I guess, on the language of the Or Sameach. I think the point is that the residuals, it doesn't have to be, I don't think, per se Hana, because there are other Isurim, or probably Hana isn't the category. I think the point is that there's the mice that you do, and then there are the residual impact or effects that go beyond. I think I'm guessing that the Or Sameach doesn't require necessarily Hana per se, but it's those residual things that are responsible for the Malkus. That's what I'm guessing.
Also, one way to explain that is that Or Sameach's idea, I think, is the disassociation from that Avera. So it could be that specifically applies when there was Hana, and now you're breaking that. Now that's dissociation.
So that's why other things it might be other things.
Exactly. But, right. There's like a shear in your continued association with the Avera. It's just to highlight the difference between these different approaches to the Mikanala above, the Tikkun HaGavra, is whether you need to perform, whether the Nitikla Esa has to be a Maisa. Let's say the case of Timura, where the Nitikla Esa is not a Maisa Biadayim, it's rather happens in the Mela. So if you're taking the first approach, that the whole focus is that the performance of the essay basically represents your newfound perspective towards the Parsha the Avera, that would seemingly require you to be performing that Kumba Asse Maisa to basically highlight that new perspective. But if you take Orsamath at the end, Orsamath actually discusses the example of Timura. For Orsamath, as long as Lamaisa there's no longer that Hana, so therefore even in the case of Timura, where that, let's say that break of Hana, and you're no longer, and once Hutzmasya Kodesh says that you're, he's explaining in the Rambam. The Rambam, oh, he had Kavana to take away from Hekdesh. So the Nitzik Le'essay, the Hutzmar Siyei Kodesh, dictates that no, I mean, both of them end up becoming Kodesh. And therefore, you end up, your Hana of trying to get from Hekdesh ends up being undercut. But Orson Mathis, she tells us that since the focus is not on doing a Maisa, which represents a new mindset, but rather just disassociation from the Avera, that can even apply by something like by Tumura, which happens in the Melos. So we'll get back to that a bunch later on. Fine. So then the next model, so after we, as just the first model is the idea that the tikkun is mikan alabah, really mitzal the gavra, we have these two options. So now the next model is where you see that it does work l'mafraya to some extent. That the tikkun, that the nitik la'ase does neutralize to some degree the chetza shel avera itself, but we're going to see this is only to a certain extent, not like the third option, which is going to be a complete l'mafraya uprooting of la. So what's the idea here? The idea here also, I think, is totally on the nature of the iser at play. If the lav is not focused on the maisa, but rather on the totso, it can be said that once you perform, let's say gezela was formulated not in terms of the maisa gezela, but rather in terms of the totso, the hefse that you cause to the nigzal, it could be said that when you originally perform the gezela, you trigger a totso, that totso at that point in time is going to be viewed as a totso'a la'olam, a permanent totso'as issa you created. You basically performed an action which created this situation where this person will be disassociated, will lose his item forever if nothing changes. But then when you come along and return the object, so l'mafraya to a certain extent, you basically changed that original action, the original totso'a, which is a permanent totso'as issa, and you l'mafraya changed that to a temporary totso'as issa. Because now, that totso'a only existed between the time that you stole it and the time that you return it. So if you return it 2 weeks later, so instead of that original Avera formulated in terms of the Totsa being a Totsa, the Olam, that is now downgraded with Mafreya to a temporary Totsa only in between the time of the Lav and the Essay. But once again, this is not a full Mafreya, because at the end of the day, we're not going to lose sight of the fact that between the time of the Lav and the Essay, you are Mafsi the person, the item. How are you going to say, oh, Mafreya, once you return it a year later, oh, everything is good and well? Doesn't really make sense. Because at the end of the day, you were mafsid between the time of the lav and the essay, so therefore it's going to be l'mafreya to a certain extent, knocking it down from a permanent to temporary, but not a full l'mafreya. So just to see where you have this idea, Rashi in Tzumura, really Dalet Amud Beis, really has this formulation when discussing the nitik la'essay of the lav, like lo yuchal l'shalcha, the lav of a ma'anis, who's not allowed to send away the isha shenansa. In the case of a Yisrael, right, he's a chiyuv then to take her, if he does so, he's a chiyuv to take her back, lo siya Isha. And the way Rashi formulates the tikkun here, look in Dirum Yisrael who mocks here in Dalon Beis, like probably halfway down, this lesson is the Efshir Lay Likiyume Tarvayu, the act of being mocked here, taking her back, is Mikayim both the essay, that's obvious, and also the Losa essay. Somehow Mikayim the Losa essay, which sounds like this Hashava has an impact on the Lab itself. So just to explain that in light of what we're saying, I think it makes a lot of sense to basically view this Rashi in light of the Rashi in Makos, or the well-known Gemara and Tezvav and Aleph, which is discussing this whole Kimu and Bitzlo, and discussing specifically this Nitikla essay of Lo Seyel Isha, where the Drasha is Kol Yama, but because of the Drasha of Kol Yama, the Lashon of the Gemara is Kol Yama Ba'amud V'Hetzerkai, to establish that essay applies for eternity, forever. So the question is that Rishonim deal with, is that Kol Yama, is that Drasha just qualifying the essay to say, oh, by the way, although the essay is called the Malav, is a specific Xeris Kus, which is that essay really applies forever? Or as Rashi says there, is that the Kol Yama of Drasha is really qualifying the Lav? So that the Lav is not merely focused on a Maisa Shiluach, the Isser being the Gerishon itself, but it's rather focused on the Totsa the result of causing her to be in isolation. Therefore, every second that she has continued to be, and you allow her to be in isolation, that is going to be a further bittul of that lav, and therefore the lav itself is going to be mechayev you to return her. So along these lines, we put two Rashi's together, based on our analysis, Rashi specifically here formulates the tikkun as rectifying the cheftza shel avera itself, specifically because this avera is totsa oriented, whereby you turn the original totsa's iser, which was permanent, l'mafraya to a more temporary case. And there's another Rashi which works out very well for this, is the later Rashi in the Lishna Achrina, which is a whole different read of the Gemara here, where Rashi differentiates between the nature of of this lav of lo yuchal l'shalcha by a kohen and a Yisrael. And it says the fact that the essay of Lo Se'eli Isha applies to a Yisrael and doesn't apply to Kohen, that changes the nature of the law itself, but it has an impact on the whole sugya there of whether the law is shalva b'kol or inish b'kol. Once again, at first glance, it doesn't seem to make much sense, because in one case the essay applies, in another case the essay doesn't apply, but why does it impact the law itself? But if you put all the Rashi together, and the Rashi is saying the focus, at least in the Yisrael case, the fact that when you can take her back, therefore the law itself is formulated differently in terms of the totsah, but Masha Enke, when it comes to a Kohen, that the Isser, because there's no ability to take her back, it's a one time, you can say, even focus on the Maisa Gerishin itself.
I can just throw one more Rashi into the mix.
Yeah, for sure.
In the new Gemara, so they have it back, Rashi and Safi De Dalit. So I'm just curious how you put that into the split.
Where does it say?
Yeah.
Oh.
No. So he just says, Kol Lam Shanitik La Esse, Ein Logan Allah.
This last word?
Do this, and you will be saved.
Saved.
So I'm just curious how you.
Yes, I think that works out well with the. Right. Kim, I mean, this idea that's a tshuva. Yeah, for sure. I understand. I mean, it seems to be working within Rashi's Kim Vlo Kimu approach that the function of the essay is a tikkun which somehow rectifies it. And you thereby save yourself, I'm assuming, from the Malkus.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yeah, no, for sure. 100%. Good. You could be Nasi too. So the important thing just to keep in mind when you're dealing with this Rashi is that if you keep in mind the shock of Atarya here is something that's very important comes out. The Gemara here on Dalet Amud Beis is trying, at least according to Rashi, is trying to disprove the Ptura of Nitikul Esse. Right? And it's doing that from the fact that the case of a Kohen who's Megarish, an Isha Shenansa, that he is still Chayv in Malkus. And the Gemara is asking, oh, if the Ptura of Nitikul Esse really applies, so then the Kohen should also be part of Malkus. And Rashi, in that context, is there to say, but even though right, we're proving from the Seifa, the Chiy of Malkus by the Kohen, that there's no Nitikul Esse, the Risha still says that a Yisrael is Patur from Malkus. So Rashi has to explain, so what's the Gemara's Havim, you know, and you're freeing a proof from the Seifa, but the Risha clearly says there is some type of Patur. So Rashi, in the Rashi we were just reading, is coming to differentiate between the Nituk in the case of the Kohen and the case of the Yisrael. And coming to say, basically, that even if you don't generally hold that the Ptura of Nitik L'Esse, everyone is going to agree that when it comes to such a Nitik L'Esse, such as in the case of Yisrael, where in our terms it is metakin it somewhat limafreya, you neutralize the law itself, sounds like everyone's going to agree to that Nitik L'Esse. The Gemara is only wondering about the other Nitik L'Esse in the case of Cohen, which for sure don't have that Tikkun limafreya, maybe not even the Tikkun mitana l'ba, we'll get to exactly what that is. But the key thing that's coming out for Rashi is although he recognizes this model of Tikkun the Mafreya, he doesn't think that the Manda Amar of the Nitik L'Esse is Patur Malkus is limited to that model. He thinks that that is a super type of Nitik L'Esse, but also thinks that the concept of the Tur Nitik L'Esse is open to other models such as Mikana Ulaba. This is in contrast to the next makor for this idea, which is Reb Chaim. Another raya to this concept of people who limit, who always recognize this model of a Tikkun the Mafreya. So the Reb Chaim is quoted by the Griz, who's coming to explain a similar stira in the Rambam that a lot of Nosar can't pick up on. That in the context of Nosar, the Rambam cites the Ptur Malkus of Nitik L'Esse. When it comes to the Lav of Lina, he rather quotes the factor of Lav She'en B'Malkus. A lot of the Nosar Kalim ask in both directions is that both factors of Nitik L'Esse and Eimo Maisa apply to both Lina and to Nosar. So why does the Rambam in one case pick one and the other case pick the other? And they both have a chi of strefa, which should seemingly make it an ethical essay. And they both are a passive act of having left over and not having done something, so therefore it should be ema maisa. So the direction that Reb Chaim is coming to answer is why the ptura of nitikul essay doesn't apply by Lino. We'll get back to the other direction of why ema maisa doesn't apply to Nosar at a later point. The way Reb Chaim explains is that the application of Nitzik L'Esei is Toloi, is dependent on the nature of the love as we've been developing. The way he sets it up is that it specifically applies to Nosar, because the Isser of Nosar is focused on the Totsah of being Meichel Hashem Nosar on the Basar. So therefore, because it's focused on the Totsah, he says, therefore, the Chiv Srefa, the act of Srefa, is Menatik, that love to create a trigger, a Tremakos. Masha Enki, when it comes to Lina, the way he formulates it, the Isser Lina is rather on the act of not having been Makriv the Emurim. And if you formulate the Isra in terms of not having been Makir, the Emurim, then the later Srefa is not going to relate to that Isra at all. Important to take a step back and realize that while Reb Chaim seems to basically place Lina and Nosar on opposite extremes, the question is why he doesn't do something in the middle. Explain as follows. In terms of Nosar, one could have formulated the Isra of Nosar in three ways. Either, number one, is the fact that it was the Isra of not having eaten it bismano. Number two, it's like the act of being Mosir, the Basar, over past the man. Or, as Reb Chaim says, it's the Totsah of being Meichel Hashem Nosar. So Reb Chaim seems to go out of his way, and the Griz and Reb Shmuel David say he's Dafka, that he only thinks that the Nitzik L'Esei will apply in such a scenario of Nosar, specifically because Nosar is focused on the Totsah. And they say explicitly that if Nosar, rather, was focused on this act, or Imo Maisa act, the act of being Mosir, then the Nitzik L'Esei wouldn't apply. So here, just to translate back to our models, what's coming out, and that we take Reb Chaim Kipshuto, at least according to his son, his grandson, what's going on is that Reb Chaim thinks that the Nitzik L'Esei is limited to this model of Tikkun L'Mafreya, which thereby only applies to Lavim, which are Totsah-oriented. As we said, once it's Totsah-oriented, then the Nitzik, which is applied later, somehow rectifies the Chetash HaLavera itself. Asha Enkin, if you think that the Avera is focused on a Maisa, like in this case, the Maisa of Mosir, so although that will be a Tikkun in our terms, Mikanu Laba, that's not going to do it for Reb Chaim. So in contrast, so you have both in Rashi and Reb Chaim, both this recognition of this model of limiting, have a specific application of mythic essay when it comes to Lavim, which is Totsah oriented. While they both recognize this model, they take it in different ways. Rashi thinks it's a supermodel of mythical essay, but not necessarily so that mythical essay is limited to that. This important idea of different models within specific Rishonim of different models of Nitzik L'Esei. While Reb Chaim says, no, the Nitzik L'Esei is limited to that. Fine. That idea of L'Mafreya wouldn't apply. Kind of level. So the third model, the last thing we're going to discuss within this first Shita of Tikkun, the third model of Tikkun is that it works completely L'Mafreya. It totally erases any chalos, any remnants of the Isra itself. So I'd like to suggest that the only way you can really say that, based on the svaras we've been mentioning, is only if you think that the Tikkun of Nitzik L'Esei is limited to Toch De Dibur. That it has to be performed within Toch De Dibur of the Avera itself. Just to give some background, there's a range of shittos in terms of when, within Kima below Kima, this idea that the essay functions of the tikkun, when can that tikkun be applied? So according to some, which I think the Rambam and the Ramban, it seems to imply that you have your whole entire life. As long as it's physically possible to perform that tikkun, that will trigger a termalkos as long as it's physically possible. Then you have Rashi, which you read already in the source one, because it sounds like a tali on basin. Once basin gives you that hasra and gives you the option, either you perform the tikkun or you get malkus, that's the last point in time. If you're not mekayim the tikkun at that point, basin is going to administer malkus. But the last shita, which Tosfos in Makos has a daya on to say it generally, and other Rishonim give it in specific cases, that the only time that the Kiyam essay will function, the Nitzik essay will function as a tikkun of a lav, is only when it's performed Toch Kedei Dibur. So he's pointed out, Tosfos says this in the general sense in the sugya of in Makos, and Rashi, Ritzva, and Meiri specifically say it in the context of the Nitzik essay of Shiluach HaKan. So according to such approach, if you really think that the tikkun is taking place Toch Kedei Dibur, then that's the time and place where you're going to end up having a complete tikkun l'mafreya. Because especially if you take the Bas Akas approach to Toch Kedei Dibur, which says that, I'll say, halacha views like 3-second intervals like these types of dinim, so therefore, because you basically perform the tikkun before those 3 seconds are up within Toch Kedei Dibur, so therefore there's no chalos whatsoever to both, whether it be a maisa or a totsah. So that's really the way to explain Nitzik L'Esei as a complete Akira L'Mafreya would be the Toch Kedei Dibur.
These three approaches affect whether or not the Avera was before the Nitzik, and the Avera was before, is that considered in terms of
On the time when the Avera?
When at the time of there was performed before the Nita was established. So it's possible to do that as the last of Mesa Avera because of the potential. I mean, that's simply going on in the Rishonim. According to the Rishonim that have the whole lifetime, so maybe what they're saying is that it's really because since the possibility of the Ase, we're not going to do that as a full of Mesa Avera.
I don't know if you have to say that. I mean, you could say they're working with Antikun in the sense they're just saying that Kol Zman, that you have the potential to be Metakin. That love to be pulled to yourself, mom, because it's like a din onish. I mean, we're never going to administer an onish unless it's a vaday onish. If there is still that possibility for you to pat yourself in that onish, so then they can simply say, as long as you have the possibility to do that, we're going to, you know, basically keep that patur in place. And then the issue of the bezin, that's an interesting question. That somehow, according to Rashi, that when there's a point in time where they're in bezin, where the bezin can say, okay, we're going at the end of this din, there's going to be an onish here. So, meaning, where there's going to be rectification of what's going on here. So either go for the onish round, or you have to do the tikkun, which was going to point to pater.
Is it clear that the different shitas are across the board, or...?
Yes, yeah, so I was about to say that. Is it
about the timing, I mean.
Yeah. So the Rashi, Ritzva, and Meiri, who, remember the Rashi, who generally says that didn't you have until Basin. And the Meiri, who says generally you have them forever, they specifically say by Shiluach HaKan right. That it's limited to Tochle Dibur, which is another important idea, but especially if you take what I'm saying right now, that Tochle Dibur represents not just a quantitative factor, but it's a qualitatively different model of how the Tikkun is working. What comes out is that, just like we had before by Rashi, you have another, within other Shitas, where you have different Nitzikul essays working in fundamentally different ways within different models. It's like for Rashi, say generally it works as like, a mixas l'mafraya or a mikana l'abog, but in certain cases, like shiluach hakan, you can have a complete akira l'mafraya, which is also an important idea that within specific rishonim, you're going to have multiple models at work.
So in theory, you could also have in the other direction, as let's say you had on the permanence also, so people could say that certain things could still be li'olam if it's in the nature of the maisa avera, then that it'd be absolutely permanent.
I mean that even, right away you have that?
No, what I'm saying is, if the quality of the Avera demands that this be like a permanent thing, so then you would have the same effect in the other direction. Then you might say about that a particular Avera...
Only that is specific to that.
That you have a Leolam, because that. Part of the Hagdara of what you're...
The Avera needs that.
Right.
Yeah.
Saying, so that, that's...
another manifestation, for sure. Okay, so just so far we...
I just didn't fully understand how you answered Houston's question...
You're saying in specific cases where you need the Totsa Lola.
Right, but you're saying more in terms of on the same term of the other side of things.
I hear what you mean.
Just because you reject Tochle Dibur doesn't mean you have to take a stance.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, very good. Sorry. Thank you. So far, just to summarize, you basically have discussed the first approach, that the idea is Tikkun, and we've basically seen within Tikkun, three different models, whether it's Mikana Labah Mitzah Degavra, whether it's Miktas L'Mafreya, or L'Mafreya Degavra. So now moving on to the second approach, this idea that the notion of the way the Nitzikla essay Pater's Malkus is not because the Lav, where it was the full Machayev, and you just have this potential to be Metakein through the essay, but rather that, one way to say it, is that the essay, Nitzah's essay, integrates into the Machayev of Malkus itself, in that the machayev of a specific malchus is not only the bittel of a lav, but it's also the bittel of the essay. And therefore, when you have just been mevatel the lav without being mevatel the essay yet, it's not that the essay functions the tikkun, but it's just the fact that you did part one and not part two of the machayev. The machayev has not been nigmar, hasn't been finished yet. It's an important issue. It's just to see this inside. Back to source number one, Rashi really formulates that this says that this approach is really the approach of bitzel o bitzel. I mean, the idea being that Manda Amar of bitzel o bitzel thinks that the only time you're mechayev malchus is specifically if you are mevatel the mitzvah's essay biadai. So Rashi is going to interpret, is going to infer from there that shows you the reason why you need to have a bitzel biadai of the essay is because it shows you that the mechayev of the malchus is not just the bittul of lav, but it's also the bittul of the essay, and therefore you have to be mevatel that essay biadam. And he explains this pretty explicitly in source number one, going back to another. So Rashi says, "Hanichal man detani lekaman balav anitek leessay bittul asa essay chayv alav." Is his formulation of bittul of bittul that if you're mevatel it, then you're chayv, but lo bittul asa essay, you're gonna be pater. This is a key line. Shehalav taloi bebittul haessay. Or say that the mechayev of the malchus of the lav requires also the bittul of the essay. The eno nigbar hashiyavatul asa essay biadayim bittul ol. And therefore, you're not going to complete in the mechayev of the malchus until you not only violate the lav biadayim, but you also violate the essay biadayim. To the extent shelo yuchal is kayim ol. So here you have Rashi is accepting this general approach. the ptur malchus by the nitzik l'essay is based on the lack of mechayev just due to the violate meaning. Based on the violation of the lab alone, you also need to violate the essay. And Rashi connects it, as many do, to this manda amar of bittul of bittul. So now just discuss some issues within this approach. And the first issue is, assuming at the moment that the formulations, as we said, that the mechayev of the malchus includes both the bittul of the lab and the bittul of the essay, so one important question to ask is, what is the relationship between those two components? Do you say that there are two distinct chalakim of the mechayev, or do you say that in some way they integrate into a single maisa aver? So we'll see exactly two issues which are really heavily impacted by the hakira. First issue is going to be the issue of hasra. Number one, when is the hasra administered, and thereby, what is the status of the hasra in terms of hasra's vadai versus hasra's suffix? So you have a three-way machlokes. So all within bitzel o bitzel, assume that the bitzel o bitzel manda amar is all within this approach. So Rashi in Makos Tesalvaviz says within Bitzlo, the Hasra has to be administered on the Lav, right? The Lav and the Essay has to be done on the Lav and then the first Lav. And therefore, according to Rashi, because it's done on the first Lav, and even after, right, you could violate that, there's still this second Maisa of the Bitzlo Essay, which is held in abeyance, because you don't, that's from the Suffolk, whether you're going to violate that, he says, therefore, it's Hasra Suffolk. So two assumptions to this, Rashi. One, a Hasra assumption. Number two, relate. An assumption relates to the relationship between the two halakim. Number one, he assumes, as a Dabar Pashat, that Hasra is related to the Azhara itself, and therefore Rashi thinks that even though Rashi thinks that the essay is also part of the Mechayev of the Onish, but because Hasra, according to Rashi, is focused on the Azhara itself, so therefore the Hasra has to be on the Lav, even though in this particular circumstance the essay is also part of the Mechayev of Malkus. And therefore, that's one assumption in terms of Hasra, that it's focused on the Azhara. Assumption number two is that the essay and the Lav are two distinct Chalakim, and therefore even after you perform the Lav, because there's a distinct second Chilak which could have been performed, therefore Rashi is going to say that it has the status of Hasra's Safek. We're going to see that there are two, that the Ritzvah and the Ramah are going to argue on Rashi, but each on each of these assumptions. So the Ritzvah argues on the Hasra assumption to say that even within Bitzvah, the Hasra could be administered on the essay, and therefore it's Hasra Svadai. And the way he said this is that he says, Rashi, because the essay within this approach is part of the Mechayev Malkus, and he assumes that Hasra is focused not on the Azhara per se, but rather on the Onish, the repercussions of the Avera. So therefore, once the essay is part of the Mechayev of that Onish, therefore the Hasra can be on the essay, and once it's on the essay, that's the last part, there's something besafek after that, so therefore it's considered Hasra's Vada. So there, Ritzvah and Rashi is really based on how much do you view Hasra, supposedly as a general topic, Hasra, is the Hasra focused on the Azhara, or is the focus more on the repercussions of the action in terms of the Onish? The key that we want to focus on now is the Ramah, who's quoted by the Ritzvah, who says that even though the Hasra is administered on the Lav, it's still considered Hasra's Vada. Because the way he says it is that because the Lav and the Essay are integrated into a single Maisa Avera, so therefore when you administer the Hasra on the Malkus, that's still Miuchas to the Essay, because it's considered one long Malkus, and we'll see it inside. His idea is that whenever you have any, let's say, Maisa Aver, you're giving Hasra, and it happens to be elongated, it takes a while to be over. No one's going to say that because it's going to take a long time to fulfill Hasra's Safek. As long as, halachically, it's considered one Maisa Avera, Hasra in the beginning of it will be considered Hasra Vada. So just to see this inside, it's an important formulation. In source number 5, Rabbeinu Meir is the Ramah. Zal Hosef Obizeh, he adds another Shita. The Kibon Shenitek HaKosef Es Alav Be'Essay, because you have a following Lav, which is Nitak Le'Essay, Harehen kechada milsa, they're considered one entity. the Ha'esei Gemar Ha'aver. It's if they're one integrated Ma'ase Ha'aver, whereby the lav is the first chilek, and the essay is really the second chilek of that single Ma'ase Ha'aver. And you just generalize it. U'kisha ha'srinu b'shas netzilas ha'ein u'ba'u b'shachar, right, the case of Nitzikles A of Kansipur, where you give hasra right before the lav, which is the taking of the mother bird, and then he later on shechs it, which is considered to constitute the bittul essay. Ki'ilu hasrinu b'shas shchita mamish. If you, that hasra is directly related to the essay also. The kulachada avera of the rachmana. Because all one integrated ma'ase avera, and he says, in general, whenever you have an elongated avera, as long as it's defined as one avera, even though it takes a long time to be over, it doesn't matter, as long as it's defined as one avera, doing it at the beginning is going to be considered hasra's vadai on everything else. So here you have this important Hakira about whether you view the essay and the los essay as two distinct halakim as part of the machayev, or are they really one integrated ma'aseh there, which is also important in terms of the how related do the essay and the lav have to be. Well, it's part of the sugya you're not going to discuss now, is that you can really go through each example of nitikla essay and really ask what exactly is the connection between the lav and the essay. So even if you take the approach, that the lab and the essay are two distinct factors, you're still going to have some conceptual connection, because at the end of the day, why would a random essay be integrated into the Mechayev of Malkus for a particular lab? There has to be some connection. But it could be said that the connection needed for this second option, that not only are they both distinct halakim as part of a single Mechayev, but they're both considered one integrated Ma'ase Aver, you might say that you need a stronger connection between them. And therefore, it's possible to say that you... I didn't locate any discrepancies, but if you could find discrepancies within, let's say, a shita of the Rama, he would say, in the context of a certain mitzvah essay, he'd say, administering the hasra on the lav would not make it hasra's vaday on the rest of it. Meaning you would end up finding discrepancies which show that, let's say, a certain shita thinks that certain cases the mitzvah essay integrates, the essay and the lav integrate, and in other cases not. So that might be, you might be able to explain that based on this idea, that it could be that depending on the conceptual relationship between the essay and the lav, that will dictate whether they integrate. You could fathom certain shittos holding that basically it's taloi on the specific case.
So if we focus on the lashon of the Rambam, they are on kilu b'srinu b'shas shchita. You say that it really has, it still has a degree of separation, but it's connected enough to carry over the hasra. It's the hasra that's connected rather than the essay and the lav.
When he keeps on saying the Haskala Avera and the Gemara Avera, or the does Kulachada Avera, it sounds like the carryover is really, and then his Mashal.
So
I thought that was the reason why it connects. That's why at the level last line I skipped it, but he's saying, when you're dealing with like a regular lav, which is takes a long time, that's his Mashal, to a single lav, which takes a long time to violate, he says that's exactly the same case. He says, Kushem Shemastrim, a kol over belav bishas Haskalas Akiras Alav. I forgot the inonigmar at shas gemar ha'aviru. So I think the mashal is really hinting to the fact that really it's what this is compared to is a single ma'ase ha'aviru, which is elongated, and yet the carryover is because it's an integration of the lav itself. In this case, the lav and the essay. I hear what you're saying, but I think that's why I was reading.
Just
the
mashal discussion
with
that the Rashi matters compares the asra to shul with the tefillah later.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Ritva obviously was in the Chalak between the two, but is it clear that it was, that Machlokas is when you have to give Hasra, or is it there, you know, if you make a comparison between the Shvah and the Tanah?
Yeah, so it's a very good question. The Ritva actually focuses on that and says, what are you talking about? How can you compare it to Tanai? If really, and Ritva sounds like, at first glance, sounds like he's arguing, no, really, the essay is not just like a Tanai Ba'ama, it's part of the Mechayev itself. But if you look, the reason why I explain like that, if you look at other Rashis in the Sugya, like the one we read over here, he's clearly saying within the Manda Amar Bitzlo Bitzlo that the essay is not simply an external Tanai, but it's rather part of the Mechayev itself. So what I think Rashi is doing when he says that, meaning, I think the emphasis of that Rashi is the fact that the lav has to be on the Azhara, and from the perspective of Hasra, and from the perspective of Hasra needing to be on the Azhara, Mali an external Tanai, a Mali a separate Mechayev of the Malkus. I was doing that to put the two Rashis together where you could have, at first glance, at the end of the day, said that my focus is whether you view the essay as part of the Mechayev, but I think Rashi that we quoted in source number one is clearly saying that's therefore I had to interpret the Tanai in light of that. But that's a very good point. So just, before we move on, just another interesting... Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I just understand correctly. You you're learning Rashi on Makos and Tosfot and Aleph, but the essay is a separate Machaya, or the Bittul essay is a separate Machaya.
And like two distinct halakhot. Meaning, you said when you have a Machaya.
You just be saying that it's the Shir and the Lach that calls man that you have, and I guess like what Jason was saying, that calls man that there's an Afsharis to be Machaya and the essay. So the Machaya, the Lach, hasn't been in there yet.
Yeah, so we're going to get to that.
So then it's not a separate...
Yeah, so we're going to get to that nuance in a second about whether when we say...
We're saying, in that Rashi...
No, yeah, I understand. I mean, you're saying when Nigmar Halal, the Lashon of Nigmar Halal.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like you're saying that the Bittul Asay is a separate... Yeah, the Chai of the Malkus.
Yeah, so I'm going to present that option like in just a second based on Gemara. The reason why I'm interpreting Rashi in that manner is because if Rashi thinks... You know, Rashi argues in the Ramah and says, L'maisa, the Hasra on the Lav... considered Hasra Safek for the essay. And he is not just pointing out...
Because the lab hasn't been Nigmar yet, because you don't know. It's still totally on the essay.
But no, but if the end... But if the Bittul essay is just a Gemar of the lab, so then that's exactly like we said, it's exactly what the Ramah's Mashal is. Whenever you have an elongated lab, where you don't... It's not clear whether you're going to violate the second half of it, because it's considered one lab, that's not considered Hasra Safek.
So it can't be that Rashi argues on the front?
It could be.
There might be an Hasra issue.
Or these are not connected enough to be one. I mean, you would hold the one long lab in a phonemic. Even though the essay is there to be rational, it doesn't work the same way.
So it doesn't mean at the beginning that it's going to end up. Close mind that you don't know at the beginning because it's still telling on the essay, so you can't.
What I think I'm coming from is that we'll see, like in a second, the approach and emperor's. 2 minutes, I'll explain to you exactly what I mean. But 100%. So, okay, just before we move on to a point related to that, another thing, possible nafkamina of whether you view the essay and the lab as an integrated, one integrated ma'isa aveira, whether you see them as distinct halakim, not only this hasra issue, but also another just interesting marmakum is the aruch l'ner, and another issue is whether the lab would be considered a yeshba ma'isa. So as we pointed out earlier, like the stira in the Rambam is about whether Rabbi Nosar, he cites the patur of nitikla essay, and by Lina, he cites the Torah of Ein Bo Ma'isa, so we had the question in both directions of why, right, why don't you apply Nitikla Essay to Lina, why don't you apply Ein Bo Ma'isa to Nosar? So the Aruch L'ner is dealing with the latter part of why doesn't the Torah of Ein Bo Ma'isa also apply to Nosar? And the way the Aruch L'ner says it is that if you understand, if you take the approach of the Ramah, that the Essay and the Lav are one integrated ma'isa avera within the manda amar of bitlo v'lo bitlo, that you need to be over the essay biadayim. Therefore, if you consider them to be one ma'isa avera, and you have to be over the second half of that avera biadayim b'ma'isa, the Aruch L'ner says that's going to be ma'apich the entire lav into a lav sheyesh ma'isa. And he says, kol shekein. If, according to the Shita, as I quoted in the name of the Magid Mishnah and Schirus, that if you think that a lav is considered a yeshba ma'isa based on the potential to violate that lav b'ma'isa, then kol shekein in such a scenario where the second half is second half of the lav is done b'ma'isa.
Does that mean machlokas tadayim then? Meaning if Rabbi Yaakov says that Adosar, that it's lav sheyesh ma'isa, that's going to be machlokas.
If it's
machlokas Ramah,
uh-huh.
Is
going to be a well, he's got to figure out whether he holds Bitzel or Bitzel or not. If you can tell him that. I mean, the whole Pshana Aruch L'ner is assuming Bitzel or Bitzel, but
he wouldn't be able to weigh in, so to speak, on this, because he's anyway not holding Bitzel or Bitzel, but everybody holds Bitzel or Bitzel could.
Yeah, I mean, if you hold Kimo or Kimo, then you don't necessarily have to be involved with the yes, if you're there. I don't want to say that Yaakov necessarily holds that, but that's one way. So I guess the second issue, so far basically within the second model of Tikkun that it's an idea, the second approach that the idea is basically the lack of Mechayev, we basically, one issue we discuss is really the relationship between the essay and the lav, are they two distinct parts, or are they really one integrated whole? So now, I just want to undermine the assumption that we've been dealing with. Up until now, we've been assuming, as Devar Pashat, that the when we say the yetabim mevatel, the essay biadayim, what we mean is that the bittul essay is integrated into the Mechayev itself. So while that's one option, it's possible to suggest, and we'll see a Gemara which implies otherwise, that when we say that you need to be mevatel, the essay biadayim, that's not because the bittul essay is also integrated into the mechayev, but it's rather that the bittul essay basically is needed to constitute a bittul la'olam of the lav. It's perhaps similar, related to what Seth was saying. In the sense that, according to bits of law, bits, so it's not enough to have a one-time violation, let's say, of this Totsa'as Isser. You need to violate that Totsa'as Isser La'ola. And therefore, you need, let's say, in the case of Gzela. So it's not enough to steal something and be mopped to the prison, because that's the scenario. Let's say now the object that you stole gets destroyed by lightning. So therefore, at the time post the lightning, that result was not necessarily your doing b'maisa, b'adayim, because the lightning did it. So therefore, we need you to be the one who destroys that object, because that will dictate that you are the one who are being over the lav, le'olam b'adayim. So basically, at the end of the day, the need for bittul essay is a shear in the bittul lav, le'olam. It's an important place where this comes out, which is psychologically why I thought the two options were that. Either you say that the essay is its own mechayev, or you say that the essay is just a shear in the bittul of the lav. If you take the latter approach, like I'm saying now, then Rashi couldn't say that. And then Rashi couldn't hold to that idea. Because if you really think that the bittul essay is just a shear in the lav itself, then it's one single lav that's just applying forever, and then Rashi wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't consider that to be a strong suffix. You know what I'm saying? Because you're saying this you're saying like in between those two shittos.
Right, well, I guess I just don't see where you're saying all of me, I haven't seen it right.
Yeah.
So that
was, no, for sure, yeah, for sure.
Why would a bittul essay be a mechayev of malchus in general? What is a bittul essay? If the lav is mechayev, why are we assuming a bittul essay is a separate mechayev of malchus?
And why would why would you formulate it in those terms?
Yeah.
Well,
a lav is a mechayev of malchus.
Yeah, so you.
Why so? Because it's like it's the same parsha as a lav, so bittul essay like piggybacks off the lav to be a mechayev of malchus. Like,
yeah, so I'm not sure exactly why that would be the case, but see, like once that is the case, it might reflect on like the we'll get to this later on like the lack of chomer of a lav. I mean, one perspective to say is that the fact that this particular lav cannot be mechayev on its own like other lavim. It can only function as a chilek of the mechayev, so that could relate to maybe the lack of chomer of the lav itself. Maybe that would be an explanation. I mean, I was working backwards, and maybe even forwards, you can say maybe the cases where you need the mechayev of the malchus is not just the lav alone, but it's also you also need another component of the bittul essay. It could be because maybe the lav itself was what was less chomer. It's a portrait I'm going to get back to at the end.
Maybe to that question, maybe we could say that the bittul of the essay. It's the vicious of the gav. In other words, you have a lav, a maisa, whether it is or is not mechayev malchus. But v'ayim b'nakar so rasha, the Torah says that the lav creates shem rasha and the kalashim creates a shem rasha, and that's the b'nakar. So maybe that you're saying the bittul essay creates the chiyuv malchus. So he's asking to have maybe we find malchus. So. Because, as you're saying, the lab itself is a weaker level of vicious.
It's weaker, therefore less vicious, exactly.
Including the vicious food. But the last say is now clinches the chiyuv.
Exactly. I think you still have to say something like the lack of chomer or something of the like, because otherwise, you still have the question, why generally is a shame rasha triggered by a lab alone, and here the lab doesn't suffice, so you have to, exactly, but along the same lines.
I thought part of, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, I thought part of the question really is, how could there be a mechayim from an essay? I mean, we don't have a precedent.
I thought you were more coming from the lav. I mean, why specifically, generally, lavin suffice as a lone mechayev, and here specifically you need to come up with something else.
No, I was just wondering why you're assuming that the bittul essay is a mechayev of malchus if you don't ever find a bittul essay is a mechayev of malchus, unless you're just saying it's in the context of a lav.
Lohar meaning saying that you never find a lot an essay, a bittul essay, be mechayev malchus on its own is different than saying it could be the hashlama, whether it be in terms of mechayev malchus.
It gives the permanence to the. It permanizes.
Eternalizes.
Or eternalizes, yeah. The lav. I think that's what it is. So it really comes from the lav.
That's what I'm saying now. I just didn't understand what you were saying at the beginning about a separate mechayev and two distinct chalakim, because they're really not distinct, and it's not a separate mechayev.
Well, I think that's...
We're still relating back to either the shear in the lav or the chomer in the lav.
No, well,
I think that the lav is a thing. We're saying it's not a chomer, so we're saying that the full lav isn't think more precise mice, which is the way I was. That's what I was talking. That's what I thought Rashi was saying.
I think there are two ways to say it. As I'm presenting now, I think there's one way to say it is that the essay is considered distinct. Right, could have nafkamina in terms of like hasra or not. Meaning, there's one way to say that you need both chalav. Meaning, because let's say the lack of chomer of the lav, you need something else out there as a distinct or integrated. But it's the bittel essay, which is either integrated or not. And the other way I'm saying, I'm about to prove, based on a gemara, is that the other way to say it is that the bittel essay is a shear in the lav. I think that both are different options. If you're asking why, meaning the kasha is, where does an essay ever play a role in Malkus? The answer is that it doesn't when it's alone, but it can as a part two. And it could be as like what Rosenzweig is saying, is that even if the bittel essay is not a shear in the lav, even if you're talking about the bittel essay, the qua bittel essay, it could still be that because as a bittel essay that also relates to the eternalizing or permanizing, what's that word? Eternalizing the idea behind the lav. And you can say that in two ways. You can say, since it's about eternalizing the lav, therefore it's all a shear in the lav, or it's the related concept of, you know, eternalizing, you know, the concept behind the lav, but it happens to manifest itself in the bittel essay. I think there's just two ways to say that. And we'll see nafkamina in a sec. Is that fair to say?
The possible model for Shai may be a krisos, where we find that even though you need a lav in order for there to be krisos, but there are two essays that can be behind krisos.
And those are separate tiers of custom.
Either way, I don't think anybody is suggesting that the lav is just the background for the bittel asei, which is mechai, right? At best, you're saying either that it's a combination, or that the asei is something which highlights or adds a dimension to the lav. But no one is suggesting that the asei against the background of the lav, the lav's background. And now the whole story is being done by the essay. That would be
the question.
Then your question would really be very, like, where do you, you know, make a taste? How can you find such a thing? I don't think anybody's saying that, right? Exactly. Except for maybe Ephraim, because you want to say, like, chorus, but that's...
Okay, so just to...
That's a different...
So just to see this, yeah, this is a clear manifestation of this idea that when we talk about the bittel essay, whether that's bittel essay as a bittel essay or a bittel essay as a sheer... In the lav, a very important gemara in source number 6 in Chulin, just the key is the end, just to get there. So just to read the gemara inside, it says, discussing right the double formulation in the essay by Shiloh HaKan, it's shaleach to shalach. It says, the gemara saying, amrele, shaleach alone afilu me'apamim, that word alone would tell you that to keep on sending it away, even if it keeps on coming back, even up to 100 times. The tishalach, what's the need for that? Because in the eladvar shows, without this extra riboy, I would have thought maybe there's the iser / mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan only applies when you just want to get the animal. Just because for a dvar rishos. But dvar mitzvah minayin. But let's say you have a scenario where you need the bird, let's say, as Rashi says, for a karban. So you have a mitzvah's essay which is telling you to take the bird. So basically, maybe in such a scenario, maybe you wouldn't have to send it away. The Gemara therefore says, therefore you need tamalomar tishalach to tell you mikol malkum, even in such a scenario. So the Gemara is going to analyze what's the havamina that essay would have an impact on the case. Amalei Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, Bar Rava Lamav Kahana, Ela Taima de Kasa Rachmana Tishalach, Halav Hachi Haba Amina Ledvar Mitzvah Lo. You need a special riboy to tell you that even in such a scenario, the Isser of Shiloh HaKan still applies, but otherwise you would have thought that essay would trump everything. What do you mean? Essay Velosa Asehu. Shiloh HaKan is subject to both an essay and a lab, and we generally say, Ve'ein essay, Dochalos Asehu Ve'essay. So what's the Hamid? Why do you need a special Xeros Kosov if it's a classic manifestation of Klal of Ein Essay Docha? Lo sase de essay. So the Gemara answers, Lo tzricha de aver b'shakwa le'im. The only time you need this gzeras akasiv is in a situation where you already violated the lav. You took the aim, the mother bird, without having first sent it away. So now the only thing that's left is an essay. So therefore, So therefore, lav of, right? The lav passed over and doesn't long, no longer applies. Therefore, essay hu de'ika. The only thing left is a mitzvah's essay. And therefore, you have a hav min of lacy essay, but litzchi essay k'mashman. The Gemara is going to discuss why you'd actually say this, even though generally we don't. But leave it for now, that in such a scenario, you would think that because it's just an essay, you would have a hav min of essay, docha essay. Now the Gemara is the key line. Hanich l'man detani kimu v'lo kimu. That I understand to say that after you violate the law, that the law is completely gone. Within kimu v'lo kimu, all the Rishonim say that this is a riot. Shiloh hakan, that the kiyum has to be tokhle divor. That's where they all come from. Key line now. El l'man detani bitzlo v'lo bitzlo, kama d'lo shachta v'avrei l'lav. But according to the Manda Amar, bitzlo v'lo bitzlo, as even though you already violated the law, you took the mother right, without sending it away. Kol zman, you haven't been battled the essay. Well, upgrade the lav. The lav is still there, right? So the and therefore just to put it back in the shabbat of the Gemara. Therefore, the Gemara is asking that the shiluach hakan should be subject to both an essay and a los essay. Therefore, what's the havmina in essay docha los essay the essay? So the Gemara here is an amazing line where it's basically saying that according to bitzlo lo bitzlo, kol zman that you have not been battled the essay. That mitzvah's essay is subject somehow to both a lav and an essay. So the question is, where did that lav come from if you already violated it in the past, and how does bitzvah bitzlo tell you anything about the lav still apply? So basically, two ways to understand this. The first one is very mechudash and not so likely. So the question obviously is, if you taking the first approach, we've been understanding, it really, the components of the mechayev, or the lav, and the essay, question whether they integrate or not integrate the lav and the essay. So the big question is, why in the world would the continued application of the essay dictate that it's also a lav here? Even if you want, the only way you can start to explain that is seemingly within the Ramah, to say that because the essay and the lav are one integrated Maisa Avera, have this huge extension to say that not only do we say you have like a lav and an essay and they're like joined at the hip, but further than that, a kol zman, that either one of them apply the whole entire unit upon it. Therefore, even though you're already over the lav, the fact that the essay still applies, that essay has the stature of a lav and an essay, which is a huge chiddush, because pashas, when the lav is done, the lav is done. When the essay applies, they happen to be connected, nafkamina for hasra and possibly yeshva maisa, but it seems very unlikely to say that just the remnant of the essay, because they're integrated, that would give it the stature of both an essay and a lav. It's very difficult. So, but the more likely pshat in the Gemara is basically saying this idea. When we say that you need to be mevatel, the essay biadayim, that's not just saying, oh, because you need to be mevatel the essay because the bittel essay is integrated into mechayev. It's rather that the bittel essay is really a shear in the lav itself. And therefore, within bittel lo bittel, the yisod of bittel lo bittel is that that lav is totsa-oriented, and then it applies forever, and therefore the need to be mevatel biadayim is that you have a bittel of that lav, the totsa is iser la'olam. And therefore, that would explain this Gemara, where the Gemara is saying, kol zman, you didn't do that shechita. That's why that the status of that, of taking the burden in such a scenario, would be both the essay and the lav, because bittel lo bittel is all founded upon the continued presence of the lav itself. I think it's a very important, right? Because otherwise it's very hard to understand what's going on there.
The lesson of the pasuk is l'olam?
The lesson of what?
Of the law?
No, I mean, what's coming out, if are you basically asking how do we know that every single time?
No, I just missed what you said at the beginning when you're quoting the law.
The Gemara is not talking about the law. The Gemara, at the beginning, was just quoting the essay. But the point is that the Gemara assumes that kol zman that you haven't been mevatel within the view of a bitzlo of lo bitzlo, kol zman that you haven't been mevatel the essay, we assume the lav to be present. So I think the only way to make sense of that is if you somehow understand that part of the underlying assumptions of bitzlo of lo bitzlo and the need to be mevatel the essay is that the lav is totsoa oriented and the need for mevatel the essay. Basically, represents this need to be mevatel that totsoa oriented lav. Well, oh, just to help out, like the Tshuvas HaRashba has this idea that whenever you have a nitzak l'essay, that signifies that everyone holds of mahani, and everyone thinks it is mahani, and therefore that the iser is focused on the totsoa. So you're asking, like, well, how do we know that a particular lav is totsoa oriented? So it's a Rashba, the Beis Yosef, and the Tumim both hold to this idea that whenever you have the Nitzik L'Essay, the way we're understanding now is because that's part and parcel of what Bitzlo is that the Nitzik L'Essay, what that dictates is that the Lav is Totso oriented, and therefore the Shir and the Mechayev is to be Mbatla. So just. Meaning, the question is the way you're giving permanent to the lav, is that just a meaning? Do you say that the lav, let's say, was even focused, let's say, on the maisa, so you violated that then, and now there's a new nitzik essay, which the reason why you have this essay is to give some permanence to that avera, but it's a midin essay.
No,
it just, I guess, depends what you mean by that. Meaning, one way to say give permanence to the lav is to say that the lav is totso oriented. That's what we're saying. And therefore, that is the idea that the lav is ongoing. The other way to say it is that, meaning, the reason why why do we have an essay here and not in other situations? Because it could be that, meaning, just saying, the lack of chomer, maybe that the Maisa, I mean, being over the Lav, which is Maisa-oriented, is not enough. It's not Chomer enough to be subject to Malchus. You need to have the related Bittel essay, which is basically doing that same type of thing, but in a Bittel essay form, which will continue that same concept, even though it's not the continuation of the Lav itself.
Does this Gemara be very much like the Rabat?
I don't think it's so. I mean, even within the Ramah, I think it's still a big chiddush to say that. And even if you consider one long avera, you can say that the first half is lav, second half is essay. They're both one long integrated ma'isa avera, but it's still different than saying that essay part of it is still has the stature of both the lav and the essay.
Compared to a simple avera,
when
you do the avera at the beginning, it goes all the way to the last go. So he's comparing.
To say that the essay is the second half of it, of the same avera, but it's different than saying that it's the second half and saying that because it's the second half, therefore it also has the stature of the first half.
So how would Rashi learn that tomorrow?
Meaning, so the ritva, meaning they basically, in a way, like it's more of a chiddush on the lav sheim on in essay docholosa say an essay part, where they're basically saying that because the losase in some way is mechayev the essay because there's a relationship between them. Therefore, you have like enough of the carryover of the lav because that impacts the essay to be considered an essay in a lav. So it's more of a chiddush on the ein essay, the losase of the essay, than it is on the what exactly like the bare bones of what's going on here.
But so, another point you wanted to ask. If you say like this tomorrow that there's such a real integration between the Los Essay and Essay till the end, So wouldn't that give us another way to explain the question of when you do the Asura?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. If you take the approach that the Bittel Essay is a shear in the Lav, then for sure the Asura administered at the beginning is going to be, it's going to work for the end.
At the end.
That's probably a separate question of whether you could have Asura on the end of an Avera. And it would be the same question as it would be, but elongated over any time you do the Hasra at the end, without that considered.
And there are for sure Hasra in all these things, but I just want to get to the Hasra issues. That's what extent is the Hasra part, if it's related to the Onesh, Lahavchim and Chogel Amazed, or even just as a, other aspect of the Onesh. So then anything coded, even if it's only a Tanai Bialma that's outstanding, so then. You have Hasra. Right. If it's a part of the Hagdara of the Avera, like an Avera Bahasra, which is how the Rav actually always understood, even Lahavchim and Chogim Meza in the Rambam, so then the formal question of, what is the, how do you define the Avera? What if there are more components? What if it's an elongated Avera? Those things become much more important.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah.
Right.
I'm just wondering whether you can say even more extreme formulation in the Ritva. Related to the Onesh or to something which correlates with the Seal of Onesh, therefore
like kriya.
It will be dosha.
Interesting. Okay, so just the third and final approach to nitik la'ese. Right, so far we've discussed the tikkun idea, number two being the lack of machayev. So the third approach is that it's really a din in the lav itself. Meaning that it's not totally on the situational factors of whether in this case you happen to have performed the tikkun, or in this case you happen to have violated the full machayev or not, but rather it's about the quality of the lav itself. So just say, some places comes up, the Stam Gemara in Makos, the Gimel Beis, when it gives the makor for lav and nitik la'ese, it quotes the factor of lo dami l'lav t'chassim. So at first glance, whenever you have such a phrase, I guess the simple interpretation is that when you say lo dami l'lav t'chassim, is that the lav, as an objective lav, is not domi t'lav t'chassim. And a clear manifestation of this idea that it's a din in the lav and not really situational is you have this concept in really chumra and lekula, where Rishonim are basically saying that, say, in the kula fashion, that once the lav is nitik la'ese in one scenario, that will carry the patur malchus will carry it over to other scenarios of the lav, even if those other scenarios aren't nitik la'ese themselves. Right? If you think it's all situational, whether you happen to have been over the lav, the full machayev, or happen to on the tikkun, that wouldn't make sense, but if you understand that it has to do with the lav itself, then you would say once the nitik la'ese in one scenario, if it didn't in the lav, that this lav is never subject to makos. Just to give some rayas of this in both directions, you have like, in terms of the carryover lekula, you have the Rambam in Malva Lova, Gimel Dalid, where discussing the lav of basically for a balchol to take the mashkon from the loved directly, so that's a lav, that's aser. The Rambam says that's going to be pater from malchus because of the nitik la'ese, because of the essay of hashev tashiv esa avud. Even though the Rambam in the very next halacha says that essay of hashev tashiv esa avud only applies when the loveh is an ani, the Rambam still explicitly extends the patur to the case where the loveh is also an usher. So the Mishnah now picks up on this and he says, Rambam must hold that once a particular lav is nitik la'ese in one scenario, akarcha that means that the entire lav is subject to the patur malchus as well. So just in the opposite direction where you have this same concept but really with a flip, l'chumra, is also the Rambam, we'll get back to the fact that this seems to be a stira, the fact that the Rambam, in the context of Tumura, Aleph, said where there's also Rashi in the Lishna, Achirin, and Dalam Aviz, says that the Tumura is not subject to Nitik La'ese, because not every single case of the Lav is subject to Nitik La'ese, namely the case of Tzibur and Shutvin, you don't have Hutzimasa Yekodesh in those scenarios. So this is the same idea, that therefore, since the entire Lav is not subject to Nitik La'ese, therefore, you never apply it. The same idea that it being a din in the lav, and therefore the tour has to either apply in an all or nothing scenario in circumstances, and therefore you have all these cases where either l'kula or l'chumra are saying it has to be a din in the lav. So either you say l'kula that as long as one scenario is subject to is nitik la'ese, the whole entire lav is pater, or the opposite direction that the only time you're going to apply it is that every single case of the lav is subject to such a patur. But the question is, what's that? That's Tosa's interpretation. You're saying the Havamina of that, that's the Havamina. Tosa thinks that's the goof of what the rejection is. Tosa says the Havamina of the Gemara, the way Tosa learns the Shach HaVitar is that the Gemara is asking a question and saying, basically, we're assuming the Havamina that this idea of Nitzuk the Mikta supplies the Kulo, and that's what we're assuming by Chomaster Sreichem, that the reason why the Nitzuk essay of Chomaster Sreichem applies, we're asking that it should apply in all cases, is because the Gemara is assuming at this point, according to Tosos, that that essay of Chomaster Sreichem is limited to the case of when you're being Maktim Meiser L'Tshuma. But even though Tosos thinks the Havamina, we don't think that applies to the case of being Maktim Tshuma L'Tshurim, we're saying that you see from Kohen that that in Niktok that sorry no so we're disproving that and we're saying oh you see from Kohen we don't hold to this idea of Nitok the Mixas is Nitok Lagamri, and therefore according to, then Tosos says the Maskana is that we don't hold to this, and the Gemara says that according to Tosos the Gemara's Maskana is that the only reason why the Chol Masro Sechem is the Nitok La'ese is only because that also applies in the case of being Maktim Shuma to Bikurim. So if anything, according to Tosas, the Maskana is against this Yisod. It's only according to Lishna Acharina and Rashi where he thinks that that is goof of the answer of the Gemara and saying the reason why there's no Malkus, there's no Petur Nitik La'ese by Tzimura is because you have the Lav, which is Shavu B'Kol, and the Essay, which is not Shavu B'Kol. I think that's...
not trying to get on your case, by the way.
Please.
I'm trying to understand. You're saying that this is a distinct and independent approach from the first two. The Machlokes from the other Machlokes of the Bittul of Bittul Kimik, you're saying it is at odds with this Gemara?
We'll get to that in a second. Yeah, 100% is a good. I'm going to try to explain why it's not.
Yeah,
100%. So the question is, what do we mean when we say it's a din in the lav? What exactly do we mean by that? What does that mean that when you have the case is partially nitzik l'asei, that will carry over? So the approach of the Kilos Yaakov is exactly the thing you're trying to fight against. According to the Kilos Yaakov, this concept of nitzik l'asei being a din in the lav itself, he thinks is based on this idea of like lodam lav l'chasima, which is not related at all to the other factors of kimu l'kimu and bitzel l'bitzel of tikkun and lack of mechayim. Thinks it's like a third shita in the sugya, and that's he ties him into like the shita of Rapapa Makos Tesvav, where he thinks is before the Gemara introduces the kimu l'bitzel l'bitzel, the Gemara asks a question, says basically, why don't you say that nitzik l'esei should always be pater because it's structurally it's not dome lav l'chasima. And the mere fact that you have an essay which is associated with the lav, that should trigger a patur nitzik l'essay. And therefore, the whole Shavuotar is, therefore, it should apply, this patur of lodam l'lav d'chasim, it should apply in other cases where, even though like the lack of structural, you know, parallel, lav d'chasim is not necessarily reflective of a kulap, it's just the fact that it's different, that should be a patur. And the Gemara answers, no, what are you talking about? Lav d'chasim, the idea of nitzik l'essay, it's a totally different idea of the essay being menatek the lav, and then the Gemara gets into the whole kimu lo kimu bitzel lo bitzel. So Kiel Shakov says, that Havamina, or he's the other thing, is the Havamina, the question of Rapapa is a distinct Shita, that the Nitzik L'Essay is not based on Tikkun, it's not based on Lack of Mechayev, it's a third din, it's a Stam, Gzeiras HaKasav, the din in the Lav, whatever the Lav is not structurally parallel to Lav D'Chasimah, because of the fact that it's merely associated with an essay, even if there's no Tikkun component, that's going to trigger the Petur. And the other Deos, which he explains as going along these lines, besides that Shita of Rapapa, says that he's Stifler thinks that the Shitas would think that nitzik l'essay apply in a case where the essay is kodim l'lav. So he assumes that if the essay is kodim l'lav, that means there's no relationship between the essay and the lav. If al karchok, the only patur would be midin gzeres akasiv, lav d'chasima. Where he says also the two factors that Tosas brings up in Arsig and Dalam Aviz, where the factor of that it's not the adayim, the fact that it's not smuchim. So Kiel Shabbat has assumed that Dabra Pashut all those cases. The fact that it's not smuchim, you're not doing biadayim, it can't be tikkunim, so it must be the separate din. It's a gzeiras akasiv that it applies on the lav, and therefore an extension of that would be that once it's based on the lav, being not dummy lav d'chasim, you can say therefore it applies on a lav level. Fine. So that's the Kiel Shabbat. So I'd like to suggest, I guess, along the lines of what Seth is saying, is that it's not, you know, so appealing to think that the Stam Gemara and you give them all these, which is, oh, it's the makor is low down lav d'chasim, that is like totally not related to the whole sugya of kimu lo kimu, bitzel lo bitzel. It sounds like those are the two approaches to nitzik l'essay. So you would like, at least I think it would be beneficial to try to relate somehow those shitos and the shita of lo dami lo chasima. It's possible to suggest, and it's the last we'll deal with, is that when we say this idea that the fact that one, that the, let's say, a particular lav is nitzik l'essay in one circumstance, and that reflects on the lav and carries over to other lav. And it's not just like stam gzeiras kosev, that once there's some relationship between the essay and the lav that makes it odan lav d'chasima. But it's rather the fact that the lav is subject to a patur malchus in one scenario, that reflects on a certain kula of the lav. We'll get back to what we were talking about before. It reflects that the fact that this lav is nitan for a patur malchus in such a scenario, it reflects on the lack of chomer of the lav. And once the chomer of the lav, once the lav is not so chomer, so then that's reflective of the nature of the lav itself, and therefore that will carry over. In all scenarios, this lav will not be subject to malchus, based on the idea of lo dan lav d'chasima, but not understanding lav d'chasima is just a stam gzeiras akasa, but understanding that all the factors of lo dan lav d'chasima reflect a certain lack of chomer, like the Ritzvah explicitly says in Makos, this idea that, let's say, Imbo Maisa. Is Imbo Maisa just, oh, structurally it's different than Lav D'Chasima, which is Nishba Maisa, or is the Imbo Maisa reflect a certain lack of Chomer, whether it be the method of violation or the din in the Lav itself, the fact that those are Imbo Maisa that reflects a certain lack of Chomer, and that's what we mean, Lodam Lav D'Chasima, that only a certain level of Chomer, only Lav with a certain level of Chomer, are going to be subject to Makos. So too here, when we say Lodam Lav D'Chasima, it's based on the nitical essay in one scenario reflecting on the lack of Chomer of the lav. So in order to explain this, is where our previous discussion comes into account, You have to then explain why is it that the application of nitikla essay in one scenario reflects on the kula of the lav? Is that necessarily so? So I'd like to suggest that that will depend, whether the nitikla essay will reflect the kula and the lav will depend on which model of nitikla essay you're working with. And that will then help explain the Rambam, why the Rambam, the question is, if he holds this idea of din and lav, so it has to be either one, choose. Is it either a chumra or a kula? You're going to apply it in all scenarios, the kula, like it does by Malva Lope, we're going to say that no, it only applies, the Nitzaglase only applies in the case of Tumura, as you see from the case of Tumura, the Nitzaglase only applies when every single case of the law is subject to the Nitzaglase. The question is, so how is he picking and choosing? If you understand that it's a Gzeiras Kasa, then it's either one way or the other way. But according to what we're going to suggest now, it's particularly about whether the specific application of Nitzaglase in one scenario reflects on the lack of chomer of the lav, you can start maybe differentiating between different types of nitikla essays. Some nitikla essays will reflect the kula, and therefore the patur will carry over, but certain other nitikla essays will not reflect the kula, and therefore a patur will not carry over. So just to explain. So within, just for now, we'll just deal, I mean, because the Rambam seems to be a kimo person, as the Pesach Mishnah points out in Hilchos Sanhedrin, so if we're working within the tikkun approach, I'd like to suggest, hearkening back to our earlier models, that depending on which model of tikkun you take, that will dictate whether that application in tikkun essay will reflect on the lack of chomer of the lav. Namely, remember, the lechem mishnah I discussed earlier is the one that's medayik, and the Rambam, that the Rambam holds this tikkun hagavra, tikkun mikan halavah. So it's possible to say that if you're taking that approach, that when you're talking about a specific tikkun essay, which is tikkun hagavra moving forward, the fact that a certain lav will be putter from Malkus based on the fact that this Gavra is relating Mikanu Labah to the parsha of a lav in a certain way. The fact that that will be putter lav from Malkus, even though the lav itself, the Chefza Shel lav, has not been impacted or rectified at all. In fact, you're still putter from Malkus in such a scenario. That's a reflection of a Kula in the lav. Because if a lav was so Chomor, then you get Malkus, even if the person Mikanu Labah at a later point is relating to the parsha of a lav in a certain way. But if you think, let's say, the other approach, that you're talking about a nitikla essay, which is works because it rectifies the lav itself, say the scenario where the lav is totsah oriented. And what the nitikla essay is doing is that it's basically rectifying or neutralizing the lav itself, either partially or fully, then that's not necessarily indicative of a lack of chomer. You're just saying that the lav by its nature is totsah oriented. It's only mechayev malkus when you have a bitul la'olam, the totsah is iser la'olam. So for the nitikla essay, being attacking that, it's just based on the nature of a lav being totsah oriented. So therefore, if you have an nitikla essay in such a scenario, that won't necessarily reflect on the lack of chomer. So now just tie it back to the Rambam. So the Rambam, where does the Rambam apply this concept of being a din and lav lukula? That's a malva loba. That's specifically where you're dealing with an essay which can be nikayim biyadayim, where you can basically retash et hashiv esa avot to return the mashkon itself. So parallel to the way the Lechem Mishnah and the Daig and the Rambam, that by the parallel mythical essay of a Heshev Zagzela, where you're performing a Maisa, and the Daig and the Rambam there, was that these classifications of mythical essays are what's going on is that these are Tikkun HaGavra moving forward. And that's what's going on, and that reflects on a Kula of the Lav itself, because why else would we pater this Lav from Malkus just based on the fact that this person at a certain point moving forward related to the Parsha of the Lav in a certain way? But where does the Rambam, and if we're right in the context of Mashkon, where it's Tikkun HaGavra moving forward, that's specifically where the Rambam says, and the Mishnah Melech points out, that the application of mythical essay in one scenario, in the case of Ani, will reflect on the lack of Chomer of the Lav in all scenarios, and therefore he extends the Patur there. But where does the Rambam take this idea of Chomer and say that, no, if anything, it's the opposite, that Kolzman, that not every single case of the Lav subject to mythical essay, the mythical essay is not going to apply at all? That's in Tumura. And Tumura, as we pointed out before, is B'Memela. It's not B'Yadayim, and therefore, assuming against the Oros HaMeach, you can't take that approach of Tikkun HaGavra Mikana Lava, because you're not demonstrating anything with any action per se. The Chalos come in B'Memela. So one could say that, according to the Rambam, in order for, theoretically, if Tumura would be Nitikla Essay, would be a Nitikla Essay based on the other models, either because Toch Deyub, or which it is, because the Chalos takes place right away, or because you think that the Lav of Tumura is more, let's say, Kotso-oriented in the sense that, let's say, in light of the Rambam and the Sof Tumura, this idea that, let's say, the Lav, Mechai of the Lav, is the Totso being massive Hektish, that was your Kavana, and the mythical essay comes along, and not only does it undermine your Kavana being massive Hektish, but actually is massive you by ensuring that both are Hektish. So they've recorded to such an approach where the nitzik le'esseh actually rectifies the lav itself. So in such a scenario, there's no reflection of a kula of the lav. It's just, that's the nature of the beast. The fact that the lav is totsa-oriented, therefore, when you have a nitzik le'esseh, which comes along and rectifies that totsa, then melo, there's no nitzik le'esseh, but not necessarily because, it's not necessarily reflective of a kula in the lav. And that's why you have the Rambam, who is taking this idea in both directions, because the Rambam, and when the nitzik le'esseh is reflective of a kula, he'll apply it le'kula. But in a scenario like tomorrow, where it's not reflective of le'kula, and once he assumes that the application of nitzik le'esseh, because lo dam le'lav de'chasima, has to be uniform throughout the lav, and once it's not going to extend, because it doesn't reflect on the lav itself, it's not going to apply in any case.
Or Ola, so that's another word. Whether you treat it like lav shem or
vice
versa.
One thing I'm confused about, so in terms of, so the way it works, the kula, let's say, by between the mashkos, you're saying because of the model of tikkun hagavra, so the ones that applies in one case, you need to say one.
Because that nitzik le'esseh in one case reflects the...
How does tikkun hagavra reflect the kula in the lav?
Because that's what we're saying, is that the fact that you're going to apply nitzik le'esseh, even pater malchus, just because the person is relating mitzad gavra in a certain way to the lav, that's a huge chiddush. Maybe you could say, like we were discussing before, the only time you would apply that is by a lav which is less. I mean, Mishnah Nav on that point, the way he explains the carryover, he says, oh, the fact that it's nitzik le'esseh in one case, that shows it's miklash klishi. So it shows that it's not chamor. So the question is, why is it that nitzik le'esseh? So really, in essence, like the weaker the tikkun is, the more reflection. Is that a natural sure, maybe I didn't follow?
Then therefore it's harder to say that when there is no asay that it's probably take a asay.
And if you
actually need to be kind of follow.
Sitting
up? And according to the one of the cases in the Rambam, we're calling the take a asay, you're not getting lapis even though if there is no which is asay, it's
correct. Kind. In case of Masha.
So you can think if you're saying like the Lechem Mishnah, that the lab is fully there and you're fully over at the time.
You know, so I think that's what you have to say. What I'm saying is that right, because the more you take the tikkun approach, the more you say it's the kula on whether you're actually mitakin or not. So I'm saying, to put these two together, I think you have to say it's like two stages. The fact that it's nitan for such a tikkun mikano laba, that itself reflects on the chomer of the lav. And then stage two is that once you have that reflection, the lack of chomer of the lav, then you can apply that moving forward. Yeah, that's a good question. I was trying to say is that an assumption of the Rambam here is that he sounds like, let's say his makor is lo dam le'lav de'chasima, and he thinks that nitzik le'esseh applies on a lav level. So it could be that he thinks that the only time you're going to have the p'tur of nitzik le'esseh is when you have reflected that the lav itself is less chamor. And therefore, if you have a situation where it meets the criteria of, seems to meet the criteria of nitzik le'esseh, but the fact, I mean, but once it can't apply to all cases, and you need to have a uniform application, nitzik le'esseh, it could be the Rambam is going to say that once you don't have, the Rambam is only going to apply the Torah of nitzik le'esseh across the board if the factor at hand applies across the board. Meaning, if you have reflected, if the nitzik le'esseh in one case reflects on the lack of chomer of the lav, which applies in all scenarios. But the default is that once you don't have that, so then you still need, because the Torah is lav-oriented, or aveiral-oriented, I can get to that now, but because it's lav-oriented, therefore it has to be uniform application. So therefore, once you don't have the ability to apply it across the board because you haven't reflected on the lack of chomer, so therefore the default is that it's never going to apply. Because what we're saying is that the only time, only model within which you said that the application of nitikla essay reflects in the lack of Homer is when it's a chiddush to apply such a nitikla essay. So by tikkun agavra, that's a chiddush. Because why in the world would you be pulled to yourself from malchus the fact that you're relating to a certain, to relating to the avera in a general sense moving forward? But if you think that the nitikla, because tumura can't align with that, because it's not a ma'aseh bi'adayim, you can't take that approach. You have to take some of the other tikkun approaches, which are not necessarily reflective of the lack of chomer. That's the nature of the beast. I mean, if it's totzah oriented, so then the mechayev of the malchus is a totzah la'olam. But once you're just attacking that, that's just the nature of the law, which you're undermining, but not necessarily reflective of the lack of chomer.
But one claim is that if you say there's totzah, there is no totzah there at all.
But the whole point is the Rambam thinks it's not a lava in the class.
You're
trying to explain the Rambam, so it's not a lava in the class.
He's trying to explain why it's not, because
normally it becomes. I think you're saying, I'm explaining the reason
why.
It's totally oriented, but if it's never Mahani, is it possible to say that
it should be
at all? Or maybe that's like a Shir Namat.
I would just add that two things. Number one, in this question itself, you might be mechalik. I'm not sure if I said this point or not. You might be mechalik in addition to the model of the tikkun, that it depends on the reason for the lack of uniform application of the essay. What?
The calling is wrong.
Right. I mean, and you can have three scenarios, I would say. In other words, there can be a technical reason why you don't have the essay. In other words, it should apply beside the nature of the lab, but for some technical reason, you just can't implement it on the group of people, let's say, if it wasn't this way, the Tzibur and Rabin, right, and Tumur, right? So it could be that mitzad halav, this is something kasita klase, but lamaisa, you know, for whatever reasons, technically, you just can't implement this assay on that group, right? Then you could have the opposite situation where, excuse me, the group, you know, the fact that there's no, let's say, tumura on a rabbim and a tzibur, that really, you know, highlights that, you know, the assay, when you have it, is something that's extraneous, right? And then you would be going exactly the opposite way. And then there could be a situation where the group that has the assay have a different kind of perspective on the law, especially if permanence is part of the, you know, issue, like that's where we get to the Kohen and the Yisrael and the Amos case. So then, instead of as an alternative to what you're suggesting, which is depends on the nature of the nitikla assay, it really also depends, and this is parallel to some of the law Shein b'maisa discussions. As in Lav Shein b'maisa, as you correctly point out, they have a parallel discussion, right? What if the kium ha-avera, right, is different than the character of the iser? In either direction, you have it in both directions. Right? You have cases where you can only violate b'maisa, but if the b'maisa isn't the mechayev, and you have other cases which are exactly the opposite. You could violate, you know, shalom b'maisa, but that's just an exception, and really, it is a lav sheyesh bo maisa. So there, also the Rambam, there you have stiras, the same kind of a parallel. So the trick is to figure out, you know, again, which is the exception, which is the rule, and when, you know, when you have a selective, it applies to here, it doesn't apply to there, that implies different lavims. I'm suggesting the same kind of thing would apply here. In other words, in analyzing Tura, let's say in Mashkon, and let's say Yisrael and Kohen, B'shiluach Anusa, what you might say is that those are the three scenarios. The question is, why doesn't, you know, what's the exception, what's the rule, or are there really two different ideas, two different lavim reflected by the presence of the essay? So that's one approach. That also might help you, because even what you're saying makes total sense, and it works very nicely in terms of the Kumbasei, Shabbat Taisa part, etc. In theory, if you were trying to figure, and I think this is maybe what's where some of the people were coming from a little bit, if you weren't reconstructing backwards, knowing, you know, the results, you might have really thought the opposite. That the more that something is biadayim, and the more that you look at it as an actual tikkun, the more it should depend. Right, that's where that came from. It's more to the pen befor. And where it's, you know, shalobi adayim, that's really a shear in the independence of the lav and whatever. So, in addition to saying a third point, which is the last one, is that, getting back to when I spoke, that the whole idea of lav shemnita klase and tmura, because it is mimela, it isn't just that it's an asay, but it's mimela. It's the whole idea of lavanita klase in this case just might be totally different. And that might be reflected also in the fact that, you know, in terms of the relationship of, to lavin, you know, lavanita klase, that the whole yesod of how tomorrow works might be different. So I'm saying these are other factors in addition to the models or scenarios of how lavanita klase works.
Did you want to get that? That thing's a little
off-field. Oh. But it's very good.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent.
That's not mine.
I would never
use that. Okay, so next week, by the way, I think we have Rabbi Reese coming next week. I don't know the topic because he hasn't been in touch with me. But hopefully we'll get it to people. The week after that.